Hi everyone, Maggie here. Just before the episode begins, I just want to give a few notes. First of all, there will be no new episode next week because I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. So we're skipping next week, just wanted to give you a heads up. And then secondly, at the end of this episode, we start talking about the schedule for Sensate and how it's kind of up in the air. And literally like a couple hours later, I saw a notification on Facebook saying that the Christmas special is indeed coming out on December 23rd. And that there's going to be 10 new episodes of Sensate released on May 5th, 2017. So just wanted to clear that up, just put that out there, and enjoy the show. Welcome to Sci-Fi in Color, the podcast about science fiction, TV, and film featuring actors, directors, and writers of color. My name is Maggie.
And I'm Melissa. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at sfincolor@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Tumblr as sfincolor.
And today we're talking about the final episode of Sensate Season 1.
I'm really excited.
And the title of this episode...
I was
hoping you would say it, but then you didn't, so then...
Sorry, we're just kind of off-whacked.
But it's cool. I'm also excited for this episode. Apologies about the weird leaf blower noise in the background. Literally when we started it was turned off and it just got turned on again, and it's been going for the past like 6 hours, so hopefully they're almost done with the leaf blowing around my house.
How many leaves do you have?
So yeah, let's get into it. So the final episode of Sensate,
so
I kind of got a little bit like emotional because I was like, this is the last time I'll hear the theme song for such a long time, because I actually sit through and listen and watch the theme every time. So I was like, oh, I'm not going to hear the
I can't believe you sit through it every time. It was like once or twice for me and I was done.
Because you're a proletariat, that's why. No, it's okay.
No, I'm a communist.
I like listening to the theme song and watching the images. And I can say with like 100% certainty now, the sequence of images in the theme song changes every time. Like,
yes, okay.
Because at first I was like, is my mind playing tricks on me? Am I just like imagining that there's different images? But no, they are definitely different images. They repeat the same ones over and over again, but like they'll switch around a couple of them each new episode. So finally can confirm that.
That's good.
And then, I guess, do we just want to go chronological? I mean, it was more...
Well, for me, I'd rather kind of get your initial thoughts on the episode and maybe your initial thoughts
as
on
a whole?
Season. Yeah. And then we can get into it. We basically have two separate things to talk about. We've got everybody. Then we have a little bit of Wolfgang.
Well, Wolfgang and Riley.
Wolfgang and Kala, but close.
Wait, Riley was a huge part of this episode.
No, I'm everyone else and Wolfgang and Kala. Those are the two segments of this episode.
Okay, I see what you mean.
So initially,
I was just like, if we're talking about, so to me, I thought if I were to say who were the big players in this episode, it would be Riley first and foremost. And then maybe, like, tie between Wolfgang and... Well, no. Probably Riley, Wolfgang, and then, like, Will. And then everyone else kind of got bit parts in that, I think. But that's just my take on it.
Yeah, but essentially there were two separate stories. That's the way that I'm going. Not by characters, but by stories.
Okay.
I see your point, too. Because everything works chronologically otherwise.
Because everyone else was kind of... Well, everyone worked together to get Riley out. But, yeah, I see what you mean. Like, Max and Kala. Sorry, I did it again. It's because I looked at his Wikipedia page and read his name. Wolfgang, I know. I'll finally be free of this curse. Hey, last episode, I didn't call him Max at all. That was, like, a first, okay? Anyway.
So, your thoughts on the episode, Maggie?
Wait, what?
Thoughts on the episode, Maggie.
I'm sorry, getting off track. I wanted to say something about Wolfgang and Kala, but it's gone now. Thoughts on the episode? I liked it. Action-packed, lots of drama. I think for me, the ending felt like... Are you okay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if... Okay. For me, I wasn't sure about the ending. It felt like even though a lot of plot points were wrapped up, I felt like there was a lot of stuff that was still not wrapped up. And I was like, the stuff still felt unresolved to me. Mm-hmm. At the end of the episode. Right. And I guess what I'm used to is the traditional, there's like one large arc that gets resolved over the course of the first season. And then I guess that's how it worked. There were some, I guess a large arc was, I don't know. I guess maybe I don't feel that way. That, I don't know. What do you think was the large overarching thing for this season? Whispers?
I guess it would be all of the Sensates coming together and realizing, you know, kind of their connection. That would be the theme for me. As far as, like, the bad guy or, like, that kind of angle, I guess Whispers, but we still don't know enough about him to put him kind of in the center, essentially. It's just kind of been various circumstances to kind of push the cluster together.
Yeah. It's just because... Like, I don't know. I feel like I still don't have... I know I'm skipping to the end, but if we're talking about how I feel about the episode as a whole, the season as a whole, we still don't really have a resolution for Kala. I mean, I'm just going to kind of look through the character.
We don't have a resolution for... pretty much all of the characters. We still have at least one kind of open-ended question for each of their plot lines, even if we haven't necessarily gotten it.
Oh, sure. Like, none of them have, like, fully resolved everything in their life and everything's fine. But, like, I feel like... So, I'm just gonna go down the list on Internet Movie Database. Like, Caffeus, he kind of sort of solved the whole gang problem, what, an episode or two ago? Because, like, he had to face the thing where, like, they were gonna kidnap the daughter. Yes. Son is unresolved.
I mean...
Nomi... Yeah, you know what? Yeah, you're right. A lot of them are unresolved. I mean, for me, like, Wolfgang kind of finished things this episode. Lito got back together with Hernando. But, yeah, that's really it. Like, I think... Sorry.
I wouldn't call any of those really resolved. Even Caffeus's relationship, with the drug dealer, you know, I think a lot of his issue was, you know, basically trying to get out of their relationship because he realized he had gotten in too deep and he isn't out of that relationship. You know, for Lito, yes, he's won back Hernando and he's all happy, but the photographs still exist. And what is it going
to
do?
Right, and now his reputation is going to be on the line or something. Yeah, sure. So, I get that. I get that life, like, I guess this is very, like, I don't know if I would say Sensei is realistic, but I think in terms of thinking about this being a show about life and death and things like that, and, like, the overarching themes of life and death, like, yeah, like, life isn't linear and, like, has neat chapters and things. Well, so I get that. I guess, but the way story-wise, I guess I want there to be neat chapters, and I guess I didn't really feel that with the end of season one, which is not, like, a good or bad thing. It's just, like, I just feel like there's a lot of threads that are still, like, kind of hanging off this work. If nothing's really been tied up in a bow.
I mean, I agree with you that nothing's really been tied up, but I don't really think that... I actually like it that way.
Yeah, I don't think it's bad. It's just... It just makes me go, oh, I really hope that they get a second season and that this airs soon and it's not canceled, because, like, I really want to know, like, what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's, like, Into the Badlands level of, like, I really want there to be a second part, you know?
Yeah, but I think there's kind of a difference between Into the Badlands and Sensei in that Sensei, you can kind of see the trajectory going forward. Like, yes, each of the characters kind of... I would think of it kind of like as a set of stairs, I guess, and each of them have kind of overcome their first hurdle.
Right.
You can see what steps are going
There's more
forward,
steps ahead, sure.
And you can kind of see, okay, well, Kala has to deal with, you know, what she's going to do about her love life, and we don't really know exactly what's going on with Rajan and everything like that, and we see that there are a lot of conflicts which are going to come up as we go forward. Into the Badlands, on the other hand, yet just kind of drops us off the face of the earth. And, like, I have no idea what the first episode of Into the Badlands Season 2 is going to look like. No idea. Like,
that's true. It could be literally anything.
It could be anything. They could have just taken, like, the car, not to go off tangent too much, but they could have been, like, somehow gone from this post-apocalyptic world into New York City. And I would just be like, okay.
Like, I'm okay with this.
There's no direction it could go in where I'm just like, the dinosaurs could start walking across the Badlands, and I'd be like, okay, because that's the kind of show it is. It's just...
But we totally give them crap for it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not a good thing. This isn't a compliment.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess overall, I did like every... I mean, I guess even though there's a lot of feelings of, like, things not being resolved for me that I feel kind of, like, mixed emotions about, like, yeah, I really do like this show. I like how they're all kind of sort of together at the end, and I like, I don't know, I just like, the show is gorgeous in terms of cinematography, and I think the storytelling is really effective. I got, like, teary throughout, which is always a good sign for me anyway. Yeah, and we learned a lot more about, you know, Will, and especially about Riley.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, what else did I don't think I, like, really summed up my feelings. I just kind of took notes chronologically. But yeah.
I mean,
I like the show. It's, I guess, my final verdict is I do like the show. I know a lot of people don't like it, and I think the reason is they can't get past those first, like, couple episodes. Because it's just very slow paced, and it's, like, a big turn off for them. And I think I wish more people were into the show and kind of could kind of watch all 12 episodes in order, because I feel like that's, like, I really do like the show. It's just funny because I see so much backlash against it.
I think if you look at people who have actually watched it, people are generally positive. I don't think it generated the hype that it really deserved. Right. And I think maybe if the second season had been released more quickly, we would have kind of seen more momentum. But it's, at this point, it's been about a year and a half.
Yeah.
And it has a lot of the things that people criticize, or it solves a lot of the problems that a lot of people criticize kind of mainstream media, if you will, shows about.
Sure.
It has the diversity and representation, maybe, you know, yes, there are some issues.
It's not a perfect show.
No, no, certainly not. But I think in general, it tries, and it tries things which people haven't tried before. And I usually...
It takes risks.
I appreciate originality and creativity, even if it occasionally fails.
Right.
Because I'd rather the risk than just... I mean, I just have so little patience for so many of the shows on right now. They just bore me to tears. So, I mean...
Yeah.
I...
Do you have any examples of those? Or...
Shows that bored me to tears?
Sure.
Pretty much every sitcom and every procedural and a lot of even, like, the sci-fi shows. Okay, let me give you an example of a show that I actually like. There's a new show on right now on NBC called Timeless. It's a time travel show. I love time travel so freaking much. And I actually like the show. I hope it's going to get better, but it's extremely formulaic. And so, like, I love the show in that.
But you like it, even though it's formulaic.
It's more that I recognize its potential, and I hope it's going to live up to my expectations. Because right now, if it continues the way it's going, I'm not sure if I'll make it to the end of the first season, even though, like, I love time travel, and it has so many like history like things sprinkled throughout, and I'm a huge history nerd, so it would have to be pretty bad for me to stop watching.
Right.
We've gone off all completely off tangent, but
no, that's fine. We'll get back on tangent. So back on tangent. So episode title, back on tangent. I will write that down just in case.
It's okay.
Seriously, I don't know. Unless you have better episode titles coming up, which I'm sure we will. We've only 14-ish minutes in.
So do you want to just kind of get into Wolfgang first? Because I think he's separate from the main
Can I just make a
plot.
Quick...
Yeah.
And this is relevant. You guys know I've been more vocal about this recently, but I really do love the AV Club website. And after I was done watching the episode, I read their review, and I was reading the comments on that article, and everything was just so spot on. I will link to it, but I loved the analysis they did of the final episode and of the show as a whole, and the comments were pretty good takes on things too, so I'll link to it in the show notes. But yeah, let's get to... They talk about Wolfgang in the article, and I hadn't... I mean, I wrote down some observations, but I did not think about the implications as much as the AV Club writer did. So I will probably be co-opting some of that information into my what I'm about to say. But yeah, let's go with Wolfgang. So do you want to start?
Yeah. I have not read their article.
Right, I want you to start, that's why.
So, you know, we don't get Wolfgang until, I think it's about 20 or so minutes in. But then we see his whole confrontation, and the way that we see it is actually uninterrupted. We just start it, and then it's concluded, and then we go back to, you know, Riley, Will, and whatever. I think that was kind of an interesting way to play it. I'm glad they did it that way, though it does kind of feel a little pigeonholed in.
Mm.
I wonder how I would feel if it had actually been in the previous episode, and the final episode had only been Riley, Will, and gang, you know, defeating or running away from, what is it, BPO or something?
I kind of liked it in this episode.
Why?
So this is gonna be where I start co-opting stuff from the AV Club review, but it's kind of like, well, now we found out that he killed his father when he was a kid, and that I guess is a that is like a huge perspective shift on, like, I guess how we as an audience might view Wolfgang. He calls himself a monster, right? So that's interesting. Now we have like a group of sensates, and there's like a monster among the quote unquote monster among them. And I think, so again, I'm kind of co-opting all this from AV Club because I really like their take on it. And I might have mentioned this in my notes, but whatever. When they're on the boat at the end, they're all like staying together.
Oh, I noticed that.
And Wolfgang is like kind of off in his own little corner.
I liked that.
Yeah, so it sets up an interesting dynamic for the next season. I'm so sorry about that beeping noise, guys. I'm so sorry about that, but I'm not going to edit it out because...
This episode's going to be a mess. I can feel it in my bones.
It's getting louder. Oh, no. Is it going to drive right past my window? Oh.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, indeed.
It's one of those episodes, isn't it?
Maybe I really should edit this out. Okay. I'm just going to write down the time code, and then Melissa, you talk for, like, a good 5 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely got the feeling that Wolfgang was a monster, basically. Well, I mean, he says it, so that's probably why I got the feeling. You do get a perspective shift on Wolfgang, and by the end, when he is standing separately on the boat, you really do get a sense of him, you know, he's the only one of the group who has really questionable morality, I think, would be the best way to describe it. I wouldn't say he's made any egregiously wrong decisions. I think, but the way that he thinks about himself frames his actions going forward. I think the most dangerous part about Wolfgang is, in fact, not that he has been killing all these people, because I wouldn't claim exactly self-defense, but, you know, this isn't exactly a situation that he chose specifically, and it's kind of a bad situation in general, but the fact that he kind of views himself that way could be extremely dangerous going forward, because I think the most notable instance of this is, you know, his contribution to the team to get Riley to safety. towards the end. You know, everyone is, you know, bringing their own talents, and you're like, oh, look at this cluster. They're all working together, and it's awesome. And, you know, they bring in Wolfgang because he has balls of steel, and it's like, I can play chicken with a helicopter. Like, okay. I mean, it fits really well with Wolfgang. But it's a side of him that we haven't really... I wouldn't say we haven't seen it, because he's done some crazy crap in this season so far, but because a lot of it has come in the past two episodes, it does feel kind of like a huge shift from the guy who, yes, he stole diamonds, but, you know, he was falling in love with Kala, and, you know, he has a friend Felix. It does feel different than that. It's, I don't know, he's a complicated character, and it's hard to kind of make judgments until we kind of see who he is after this threat has, you know, been eliminated, I guess. I think that's the best way, because it is the best way to think about it, because he's getting rid of his family, and yeah, that is kind of twisted, I'll give you that, but there are reasons for it. I'm not sure if he's really going to develop into a full anti-hero, personally. That could be really interesting if it's done well. I have very mixed feelings on anti-heroes, but instead of being like the only hero, he's one of eight, I might be able to kind of tolerate it more. So, I mean, from my perspective, Wolfgang isn't... I mean, he isn't a good guy. I mean, we saw that. I mean, that time that he killed his father, and that was so violent. It was, and then he killed his uncle, like, that.
And he, like, went overboard when he killed his uncle. Like, he shot him in the face, like, five times, at least.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like, I'm gonna do one headshot and then be out. Like, he really was, like, brutal about it.
He was. Does it matter? I mean, in terms of, like, visual violence, yes. In terms of actual suffering, probably not, but
mm-hmm.
It gets the point across. You know, we're skipping to the end of Wolfgang, but when Kala is standing there after Wolfgang kills his uncle, that was one of the most powerful moments in the show for me, like, the entire season.
And you can see how messed up Wolfgang feels about it, like, on his face. Like, it's just so... Yeah.
But... I don't know. He can't stop himself either.
Yeah.
Which is... You go.
Listeners, I have moved to another part of my house where hopefully it's quieter. So I don't know how that's going for you, but hopefully it's not horrible.
It's much better.
I might have to move again in a little bit, but... anyway. Yeah, I think... there's a lot of stuff going on with Wolfgang this episode. And I really like... people were kind of dissecting... like, not literally, but, you know... metaphorically dissecting, like, Wolfgang's character on that AV Club comments page. And I really liked the way, like, what people were saying about kind of, like, how... well, he views himself as a monster, even though, I mean... this is a kid who was abused as a child and didn't really have any... systems to get out of that, really. And it's kind of like people saying, well, like, he isn't really a monster. I mean, yes, premeditated murder is not a good look for anyone, but, like, he doesn't take any joy out of murdering. It doesn't look like that, you know? I feel like that would kind of qualify. And I'm co-opting other people's opinions, but he doesn't take joy out of murdering other people. So that's like, that would kind of make him more monstrous, but that's not really his thing. It's more like, he knows if he's going to survive and if, like, his friends and family are going to survive, he has to kind of kill
these people off. Well, family is a questionable term.
Well, I know he technically killed off his family, but, you know, like, if he wants to protect Felix, and let's say, for example, Kala, like, assuming they find out his connection to her, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
He has to do these awful things in order to protect them, because, like, he can't just be like, well, I'm just gonna run and hide, because they will find him and kill him first.
Well,
and just kind of like, that's like how he grew up, right? With these in this kind of culture of violence and gangsters and whatever, so.
Well, I guess it's difficult to have this discussion because there are essentially two different worlds we're discussing. There's the real world, our world, and then there's TV world.
TV land.
I'm a lot more lenient in TV land of murder and killing.
Absolutely.
I don't think Wolfgang is a bad guy, but I would not want to be in a relationship with him. Let's just put it like that.
Seems a little unstable.
Yeah, I would say so. And, you know, maybe...
Then again, Melissa, on a more personal note, we've talked about how I have very bad ideas about getting into relationships with people. So, like, that's a whole nother can of worms. So I can't even speak on this because, like, that's a mess.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's getting louder. That noise is getting louder. Oh, why? Anyway. Okay. So, Wolfgang, yeah. Wolfgang. Any more on him?
No, I mean... There's, like, the specific point-by-point stuff, which I won't dwell on too much so we can get to the other stuff. Just a few...
Will we come back to Wolfgang and talk about that kind of stuff?
Uh-huh. I mean, I think I would just rather stick with him till the end, because it's so separate from the other components of the episode.
Okay.
But, you know, he goes into... I called it his House of Horrors. And, well, you know, when this happened... I was super into the Riley Will whatever plotline, and so I kind of totally forgot this was coming.
Really?
I was really involved, and, you know, it was just kind of stuck in the middle of the episode. And, you know, we get the confrontation with the uncle who has realized that his son, you know, he can't get in touch with him.
Right.
And, you know... Wolfgang says that I know where your son is. Can't give you any details, but you can ask him yourself very shortly. And I'm just like, I know what you're doing. And then we get the confrontation itself. I'm not sure if you have anything about the like the original bloodbath, but like he has his tiny little gun, right? And these other guards,
Wolfgang?
Yes.
Right.
And these other guards have like machine guns.
Right.
And all he does is jump, like, behind a desk.
Well, he gets patted down, right? Because...
No.
No, that's why he had to have a small gun.
No, I understand why he had to have a small gun. Like, that makes sense to me. I'm just saying, he shouldn't have survived.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. Logically, that he should be dead.
Unless...
Absolutely.
Unless those guards were literally blind. But I also suspend my disbelief because
TV land.
Like, I know it's TV land, but... Come on, like
it's too much.
I hoped he had like some kind of cool plan. Like we saw a bazooka plan in, you know, a previous episode. And this is just
expended all his planning on that one thing.
Yeah.
After that he was done. He's like, well, I guess now I have to kill his father. Let me just kind of just go in with a tiny gun and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean Kali even mentions that, like, this was your you dummy.
But we've heard that with other characters too. Like Caffeus was like, I didn't really have a plan going in.
Maybe.
I guess they just all kind of just, like, they don't make plans anymore. They just kind of rely on the other sensates to kind of figure ish out for them. I don't even, like, Will didn't have a plan. Like, no one was like, yeah, we don't have... The whole theme of this episode was, like, we don't got a plan.
That's very true. I mean, I understand that it's kind of boring to plan out plans, but cool plans are cool. But even though he doesn't have a plan... Wolfgang relies on the other sensates to help him. First, Will, who says that he knows the way bullets sound when they hit Kevlar. So that's helpful. I could use my own will. Actually, I don't get into... Why do I say things? I don't think I've ever been near a gun that's fired. Not even, like, at a range. I have no need for will. What am I talking about?
Well, I mean, like, in a theoretical situation where there would be a gun and you're worried about your safety, yes, will would be very useful in that kind of situation, I'm sure.
That's very specific, and I don't know if that's... I mean, hopefully... Let's just go.
How is that unsettling?
We
live in America, dude. Like, that's unsettling.
True. Anyway. But, like,
but yeah.
Can I just say that the uncle's place is, like,
gorgeous.
Super amazing. Like, it's the bomb.
Dude, I love that rug. I want that rug. Oh, that rug was amazing.
It was so great. And, like, when he comes into the room, like, there's, like, a circle in the middle, and he stands in the circle, and I was like...
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yes!
But you and your symmetry and whatever...
It's really is, like...
Yeah, that rug again. Was amazing. Also, he probably stood in the circle because the director told him to.
But, like, but whatevs. Beautiful. Well, yes. Yeah, okay. The director.
I love that rug. And then, let's see, what else did I say? Oh, so one thing I noticed, and this is, maybe this is getting more into the other plot line, but I liked how Riley's plot line was very much about snow, and Wolfgang's plot line was very much about fire. And not about, okay, let me take that back. It's not about snow or about fire, yeah. But, like, visually, there's a big contrast, because there's a lot of snow and coldness with Riley's plotline, and there's a lot of fire, flames, and that kind of thing with Wolfgang's plotline in this episode, and I really appreciated that contrast, that juxtaposition.
That's a good point.
Yeah, no, it was really cool. I was proud of myself for noticing, because I don't... I guess it's, like, really only, like, weird visual stuff like that where I'm paying attention. But, yeah, the rug was amazing. no, I'm just reading my notes. I don't understand the science behind the bomb that Kala built, but, like, totally cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like, smart people weapons. we don't yeah. really get her, like, actually measuring anything, or we don't really see what's on the side of the containers that she grabbed, so we basically just have to trust her. I mean, I'm certainly no chemistry expert, or bomb-making expert.
The FBI is totally listening to us right now.
I'll just let the show and Kala have this one.
Whatever it was cool.
It was very cool. And like, yeah, it made me think that Kala has done fire. This before.
Because here's the thing. This is where I started noticing all the fire stuff. Because we had gone through, there's like, you know, snow opens the episode with Will, like, younger Will's looking out the window to snow. Snow is a theme, obviously, throughout Riley's flashback. And then when we get Wolfgang entering the house, the first thing he does, or the first thing someone in the house does, is like throw some lumber into the fire. And I was like, oh, I see what you're doing. So then after that, after they threw the log into the fire, because I'd just been seeing a lot of snow, right, I was like, okay, there's like a contrast here. So then I kept looking out for more fire in his little subplot. And yeah, like the bomb, the flames coming off of that fire. I want to say there was fire in his flash. No, I'm serious though. Like,
there was fire in his flashback. He burned.
I want to say there's fire in the flashback, right? When he's strangling his father, isn't there fire in that scene?
Well, he burns the car.
Right. Yeah. Sorry. That's what I mean. Like, there's fire throughout his subplot. So I don't know. I thought that was a really cool choice. It just shows kind of like how well thought out the show is. It doesn't feel like things are kind of accidental. They're like half done. Like, I feel like there's a lot of plotting and planning behind all of everything, and I appreciate that, because it's not easy to do. It's not easy to coordinate all that stuff.
The thing is,
I wrote down, Wolfgang is a stone cold murdering expletive, because that was some crazy stuff. I guess I didn't realize that he had killed his father until this episode. I don't know, did they hint at that at all, that he killed him?
No, they did not.
No,
I mean,
right.
He certainly did a little bit of damage with Felix, but they had never indicated this so far. This was a revelation.
Right. And, you know, this is something that people were talking about on the AV Club comments, and I don't know if I see it, and I guess it's up to interpretation, but some people were saying that they felt that Wolfgang had been sexually abused by his father. I don't really buy that, because I feel like they would have indicated it somehow in the show. But I don't know. I guess it's plausible. What do you think?
I guess the thought had crossed my mind when he's having his confrontation with Wolfgang, with his uncle, because,
right,
you know, they just, I don't know, it wasn't the lines of dialogue themselves, just something about the intonation kind of made me think that maybe they were hinting at like
It was further, more than just physical abuse,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, further abuse. But, without any show evidence, you know, not even the tiniest thing, except the way that an actor delivered, like, one line, I can't really believe it.
Yeah. Like, someone mentioned in the comments that, oh, Lord, that's loud. Someone mentioned in the comments that, like, maybe if, like, they had shown the father menacingly closing a door or something, that would have been enough to signal that kind of a thing, but we never got anything like that.
Yeah, it could have been done very subtly, but there was really nothing to indicate it. And so, like, you could definitely have an interpretation, and, like, I can't argue with your interpretation of it, but it's hard to believe that that's what the show is telling me to think, because there's really nothing to hint at it. And it's hard to imagine that that would be a component of the show going forward, essentially just because this piece of Wolfgang feels extremely closed. I mean, yeah, like, there's emotional issues that are going to reverberate through, but his kind of relationship with his family kind of feels like a done deal, and it feels weird that if that was an issue that they were going to come back to, that they wouldn't have kind of drawn some attention to it. Again, like, I think it's an interpretation you can have, and I can't argue with you, because it's completely valid, and the thought crossed my mind. But, like, without more show evidence, I don't necessarily believe it.
Okay.
That's my 2 cents.
Okay, let me write down the time code again. It's 35-something. 35:58. I just wanted to move again and try to get to a quieter space. Ugh, it's getting way too loud. Sorry, y'all. We probably should just record on Friday nights instead of Saturday mornings, because apparently that's when my landlord likes to get yard work done. I should know this by now. I've been living here since, like, July. Oh, dear. Okay.
So, a few more things about Wolfgang. Do you mind?
Oh, shoot. I just realized I need to set this microphone down on a stable surface and not just hold it in my hand. Okay. Sorry, you were saying?
A few more things about Wolfgang.
Yeah, let me look at my notes.
I think, well, one thing that crossed my mind, which is not just this part of the show, but all the sensates are kind of racking up a body count.
Yeah, everyone's gonna end up being a murderer at some point.
I mean, even Kala, I mean, it's hard to know exactly.
She didn't kill anyone, but yeah, like,
if
people around her died.
Well, I mean, Kala, she created bomb thing. And it's hard to
know. Oh, you're right.
It's hard to know if, like, somebody actually died and they didn't just fall unconscious. But that seemed like a pretty big explosion, not to have some casualties. And, like, Kala seemed so, like, innocent. And I don't know. I mean,
she ain't innocent anymore.
She wanted Wolfgang to survive more than anything else, but...
Say what?
She wanted Wolfgang to survive. And so that was kind of what drove her to it. She didn't really think about it.
Right.
But it's kind of hard to know.
Because she can't fight back with her fists, so.
It's just hard to know where the line is between, like, the person whose actual body it is and the mind, you know, person in the cluster.
Oh, sorry. I was going to try to shift down the staircase and close the door, but then you stopped talking.
I can keep talking if you desire.
It's okay. Let's see. So, actually, kind of keeping with Wolfgang and Kala. Sorry that the microphone is, like, kind of moving all over the place, guys.
I told you the thing with Wolfgang and
I know. I'm sorry, y'all. I love this episode. I'm a little sad that the episode that we're recording is going to be kind of a pain to listen to, but hopefully you'll stick through and stick with us. But the thing with Kala, and maybe we should take a break so I can move downstairs to the quieter section of my basement to try to record.
Yeah.
But I want to just finish up with Wolfgang and Kala. So the thing with Kala, I don't really understand why Wolfgang is telling her to marry Rajan, even if he's a quote unquote bad guy. Like, she doesn't love Rajan. She shouldn't marry him. Like, regardless of Wolfgang, you know what I mean? Like, what is this dramatic BS at the end? I'm such a bad guy, and this is why you should marry Rajan. Like, what?
I mean, the show has continually struggled with creating imperfect characters we're supposed to not, like, root for, basically. Rajan still does. I mean, like, we got a little bit of his humanity, but he's still pretty perfect. And so, I mean, when I first watched, it felt like Kala and Rajan's chapter was closed. Like, we don't know exactly what Kala said to him. That part is cut off from their scene in, I think, either last episode or the episode before that. And so it felt closed to me. And then this kind of opens the door again for Rajan to kind of swoop in. It's kind of creating a love triangle. I'm not really sure quite how I feel about that. There are more than two guys in the universe. But
right, that's how I feel about this. I'm like, I don't get why.
I understand from, like, it makes sense from a show perspective to not just have to introduce a new love interest. And, like, I understand that Kala doesn't love Rajan. Like, I get that. But maybe she hasn't given him a fair shot? I don't know.
Maybe she hasn't given Rajan a fair shot?
Maybe.
Like, this is some Pocahontas Kokolam stuff or something? Like,
I mean,
that's what I think of when I think of someone not giving someone a fair shot. He's so serious. Okay.
Is that your OTP?
Is Pocahontas and Coco my OTP?
Yes.
No. I just, like, I feel like that's a really flimsy excuse to not have a relationship with someone is because they're too serious. Understandable, but, like, a little flimsy. Anyway, that's besides the point. I just, like, yeah, like you're saying, like, there's more than two guys in the world that you can have a relationship with. Like, Kala, come on.
I mean,
doesn't have to be murderer versus someone you don't care about. Like, it could be a completely different person.
That's true.
Like, Cassius is really flirty.
Ew. That would be awkward. That would be awkward.
It would be. Wolfgang would probably be pretty pissed.
I mean, it's not like Cassius doesn't have his own victim list.
True. He just killed a bunch of people in the last episode.
Yeah, so that's Wolfgang for me.
It seems darker with Wolfgang, though. You know what I mean?
What, it's getting darker, you mean?
No, like, he seems more haunted by his actions than the other sensates do.
I agree, and I think that's intentional. I don't understand why we're not getting kind of the emotional moments, like the notes to be able to process some of the other sensei's violence. Like, we never got anything about, like, Sun or Cassius, like, feeling anything about their murdering rampage.
Yeah, Cassius is still his old cheery self, and Sun is just her usual, like, I got this, I'm about to, like, throw down self. So, like, yeah, they don't seem too affected.
That's exactly kind of what I was getting at before, in that it's not that Wolfgang is remarkable in his cluster. It's almost the fact that he identifies himself as a monster is the most dangerous thing in my mind going forward.
Right.
Because without, like, the societal pressure to kind of be normal, I worry where Wolfgang is going to go.
Yeah. I just realized I'm sitting
in the dark
on the staircase in my basement, and then I remembered there's centipedes down here, and now I'm a little freaked out. But for you, I'll do it, listeners. I'll do it for you. Even if a centipede is climbing up my leg right now, I will sit here and podcast. No, I won't. I'll run away screaming and edit it out.
Centipede cast.
Let me, my hand's trying to cramp from holding this microphone in a weird way. So let me move downstairs, closer to the centipedes, but hopefully in a space where my hand won't hurt.
You're so brave. I would not do that for a podcast.
I know, man, but the audio. It's all about the audio quality. Let me look at the time code, and we'll take a quick little break. Okay, and we're back. Sorry, guys. I know you can still hear the hum of the leaf blowers, but hopefully it's a little better down here. I'm in my basement, so I don't know if it's echoey or...
But just it's probably going to sound murdered or something.
Way different. The only thing down here are centipedes. They're not going to murder me. They're just going to scare me and run up my legs and give me nightmares for days.
Your sacrifice is noted.
Send me guests. All right. So we finished talking about Wolfgang, and I think we wrapped up about Kala, too.
Yeah. I would go on to the main plot, which starts with Will. You know, he's with a child psychologist.
Right. Sorry. I got scared because where I'm sitting in right now, it's right under the front entrance to the house, so I heard loud footsteps above me, and I got really frightened for a second. And then I was like, oh, it's under the main entrance. Whew, talk about psychologists and weird stuff like that. Okay, yeah. So Will's not really talking to a psychologist, but the psychologist is talking to Will.
Yeah, you could say that. And, you know, we learn, you know, that snow is clean and pure, fresh start, but for others it's frightening, cold, silent, isolating.
That, for me, that was a little... It got a little flowery and much, but overall, I kind of like how the psychologist was portrayed versus the way psychologists are usually portrayed by the media.
Yeah.
I feel like people have a very... I feel like unless you've gone to a shrink, people seem to have very flawed ideas of what it means to be in therapy.
That's fair, I think.
Because I think... I know I've read at least one script by a fellow student when I was in college. He sent me a script, and it was part of it was set in a psychologist's room, and I was just like, this is no good psychologist would talk like this. Like, because the whole point is that they're going to try to not influence what you say. They just want to hear your direct thoughts.
Yeah, I think...
Well, at least hopefully that's what you hope for from a good psychologist. So when you start saying weird stuff like...
A mirror, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Like a good shrink. Really any good, like... Someone who's good at listening.
Yeah.
Is going to try to suppress, like... Like, they're going to try to, yeah, be a mirror. Listen to what you are thinking and how you're feeling and not try to influence that. Which, for some people, I would not make a good shrink because I'm not very good at doing that. I mean, I've gotten better because I have to, because I work with kids now, so, like, I have to kind of try to be a mirror more often. But it's I find it hard for myself to, like, to just kind of let that other person say stuff and just kind of hear them out. Because, like, I'll just make my own, like, I'll make my own assumptions. And I'll be, like, freaking guy at the beginning of the episode, like, is snow this or is snow this? When in reality, a good therapist would just be like, what do you think of snow? And then you go from there. Rather than like, but I guess I could maybe see it working for like, if you're talking to a kid, giving them two different choices, maybe that might make sense.
Yeah.
Like you have the good choice or like the positive choice or the negative choice and like, which one are you feeling? So it kind of works. But he's better than most because I feel like shrinks are often portrayed as like these evil characters. And I didn't really get that from this guy. I mean,
he seems like a good
obviously
guy.
He wasn't ever going to believe Will when he said that he can see Sarah. But like, I don't know. I liked him better than most media portrayals of a psychologist.
Yeah, and you know, of course, the way that Will answers is that he's going to have to shuffle it.
Right.
And so
practical.
I guess this really just made me start thinking about kind of who Will is. And I think he makes a nice foil to Wolfgang, I think. Because I think in the first few episodes, we talk about how Will is portrayed as, like, this really good guy, right? He's, like, a good guy. Right. Like, he's, like, the best good guy there is, you know?
yeah.
And Wolfgang is just kind of a dude, you know? And now...
He's just a guy.
Right. And then by the end of the season, I think Will has gained a lot of nuance. And we learn that Wolfgang, I wouldn't call him bad guy 101, but, you know, he has a lot more negative aspects to him as well. And, you know, Will is in this scene and he, you know, he's given two choices and he picks a third choice. And I think that tells a lot about who Will is kind of as a character and as a person.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, he when presented with those two options about snow, he took a third option, and he did the same when confronted with, right. Like, well, you can either give in to whispers or, like, you know, give up and die. And he's like, no, I refuse to do either of the things. We're gonna get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Yeah.
I mean, Will has grown on me, kind of like a fungus.
I mean, yeah, like, he has gained nuance, and he's more... He started off kind of one-dimensional, but gained more substance as the show went on. I mean, I think all of them did, right? They kind of started off as these...
Yeah.
I don't know if broad caricatures are the right word, but, like, you know...
It's pretty close.
We don't really know who they are yet.
Yeah, and I think people...
The people upstairs always run up the stairs. I don't know why.
I think people who criticize Sense8 are people who couldn't get past, like, these, you know, essentially stereotypes of the first few episodes before they're allowed to kind of get fleshed out and develop their nuance. And it's hard to, I don't know, I have mixed feelings about it because on one hand, a show needs to draw you in immediately, and if it can't, that's the fault of the show.
Right.
But on the other hand, like, you gotta give a show a chance, man, you know?
Yeah, and this show is so different from anything else that's, like, on TV or, like, on Netflix, I feel. Like, it's such a different show.
Yeah, it really is. In a good way. Most of the
time. In a good way.
But...
Sorry, that beep is gonna keep going. Me and my roommate still don't know what it is. I think it's our Verizon Fios box. I think it beeps because it has low battery, and it has had low battery for, like, the past year or something.
Nice.
It just beeps at regular intervals, so... Again, guys, I'm sorry. I guess none of you wanted to know as much about... None of you wanted to know this much information about my house, so I apologize.
Well, here's something about my house. I think it's something to do with...
Oh, God, it's quiet. It's quiet.
Let's just get back to Sense8. Okay, so...
We can talk about your house later.
Sarah Petrell is brought up again, first time in a while, and we get a little bit more about her, but she's still something of a mystery to us.
Don't know what she is, and she scares me. Her face scares me.
Well, I think it's just because she was in the window. Window faces always are scary.
Well, she had these crazy eye bag things going on, too. And I was like, no child should look like that.
Yeah. That's true. Well, I didn't notice, but I take your word for it. But essentially, Sarah's parents or people were unable to find Sarah Petrell. Will wants to help, good intentions, but he says that he can see her, and it causes people pain, which is understandable. And obviously nobody believes him because that's crazy pants. And so then Will lies about seeing her, which begs the question, when did he actually stop seeing her?
Right. I'm wondering, like, is she dead now?
I don't know.
I'm assuming yes.
I mean, maybe.
Because we haven't seen... Because what? We now know the 8 in the cluster. Was Sarah Petrell the 9th person in the cluster who was killed off by Whispers at some point? How does that work?
It seems... Right? Too unbelievable, because they had known each other as children.
Okay, so because I don't remember the Sarah Petrell plot points at this point in the show, because we've been watching it over such a large span of time. So they knew each other as kids.
Well, I don't
and
know
so
if they, like...
Is it just like a Whispers things where, like, they looked each other in the eye and suddenly they are able to, like, since they're both sensates, they're able to kind of communicate. But she's dead, but then we have the whole Angelica came back this episode thing, so that's, like, really weird, too.
Angelica.
It's a mess.
Honestly, I have no idea about Sarah Petrell. And, you know, early on in the season, I was like, you know, I just don't remember how that thing was resolved. I don't remember who she is. And
it was never resolved.
And that's why I don't know. That's a good reason. Smarter than I think. Give myself some credit. So the way that we're at right now is essentially Will's going to Iceland and Riley is getting taken away to this facility.
Yeah, and while she's getting taken away, she keeps flashbacking to her experience when she was about to give birth and her husband's driving the car frantically, quickly through the snow, and that leads to a lot of heartbreak and
tragedy,
awfulness. Yeah. Like, that was so traumatic, man.
It was.
Let's take trauma and, like, let's, like, amp it up to, like...
100.
Like, 100.
Yeah.
And let's set it on fire And, like...
No, that's
Wolfgang. I don't even know, man. Like, it was just, like, a whole... It was so traumatic. But I don't think... It wasn't so bad that it took over the whole episode, but it was, like... It was... Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let me ask you this, then, because they've been kind of hinting at her story a little bit in the episodes leading up to this. How much of this had you kind of figured out or guessed, and how much was kind of a surprise to you?
So I told you, I never try to figure out mysteries or things. I mean... occasionally, but like I generally don't, so I was just like, I trust that the writers will eventually explain this thing, and they did. I mean, I knew that because of episode 9 that we knew that both Magnus and the child would be dead. So when we start off the flashback and I see that they're driving frantically through the snow, I'm like, okay, at some point Magnus will die. I didn't see the baby, but then we find out, oh, she's pregnant, and then I was like, okay. Okay. Later on, when she gives birth, I'm just like, oh, crap, that baby's going to die. I don't want to see this happen.
That was awful.
It was awful for us, the audience, knowing what was to come.
Yeah.
Because at least if you were Riley, you know, your husband's dead, but you just gave birth, so at least some good came out of that day. But then, just, like, the next day, when she wakes up and the baby's not moving, you just know, like, oh, crap, this is awful. Because, like, both of them are dead. And that's so, so tragic.
Yeah.
And that was definitely a deliberate choice to have them, because they didn't need to do the whole graveyard scene. I mean, I guess storyline-wise it makes sense, but, like, it would have been interesting if they had omitted that graveyard scene in the previous episode from the show, or they changed the order or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because, you know, it was really painful because we were watching and we knew that the baby wasn't going to survive, and yet still as I was watching, I was just still like, I hope the baby survives. Like, obviously I knew that she wouldn't, but like it's still
it's awful. And we get another parallel back to Sarah Petrell, like, you know, what the psychologist is saying, like, you know, they just went through something, like, the worst things parents can go through. Yeah. And, like, she just lost her husband and her child in a relatively short span of time. Like, that's absolutely horrifying. So, yeah. I was just, like, I was just cursing Magnus. I'm like, why, dear God, why are you rushing in the snow? I mean, like, I don't know, man. I mean, I know that when your wife is about to give birth, you want to get to the hospital as quick as possible. But people have given birth, as we saw in an earlier episode, people give birth in all sorts of places. And she was able to give birth in the car, and the baby was relatively fine for a short period of time. Like, I don't know, man. I just kept thinking, you're from Iceland. You should be used to driving in the snow by now. You should know this is a terrible idea. I mean, I know thinking this is not going to change any of the plot points, but I was just, like, really disappointed because I was like, man, like, wouldn't it have been fine if Magnus had just driven as quickly but as safely as possible to the hospital, and then, okay, she's starting to give birth, it happens, and he's there to help her, like, deliver the baby, and then they get to the hospital. Like, I just was like, this is, like, no, dude, no. But that's the that's the thing, right? Like, we already know it's gonna go downhill, and it's just us going, like, no, at the screen while things keep happening and keep happening.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, hindsight, 2020. I mean,
yeah.
You know, he's kind of not panicking exactly, but he's, you know, he just wants to get to hospital, and it's just a
bad situation. I don't know. I just, like, again, suspension of disbelief, but I was just like, he's from Iceland. He knows that it's dangerous to go above, like, what is it even? What's the standard here? You don't want to go above 20 miles per hour in the snow, or above 15 or 10 miles per hour in the snow? Something like that. I should know this, honestly. But yeah, like, you want to drive very slowly when it's snowing. So, and I'm like, he should know this. But anyway, hindsight 2020, all that stuff.
I don't know. It also was, like, a really small car. Like, it didn't seem like it'd be a good snow car, but...
Yeah, it didn't look like it had, like, four-wheel drive or chains on the tires or anything. Yeah, it was not going to work out. I don't know.
I don't really know about Iceland cars, so.
But, like, just talking about a car driving quickly in the snow in general, it's not a good combination. Idea, no.
But, yeah, she gives birth, and it's just, like, graphic and painful. It's just...
It wasn't as bad as the other ones.
No, like, I don't mean, like, but... graphic. It just, like, is, I don't know, emotionally graphic? Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, like, her husband is dead next to her as she gives birth, which is, like, some weird, ironic twist of something. Twist of fate, I suppose, but I don't know. It was just really, it was so twisted and sad.
Yeah.
I was thinking, again, logic, like, is there no road to follow? But then again, maybe it snowed so much that she can't see the road anymore. Because I was just like, why is Riley, like, wandering around on the mountains? And also, like, if you're gonna wander around to keep your baby warm or try to find the nearest town, like, I would go to one of those sun... Well, I would go to a part of the mountain that's covered in sunlight and not the shady part, but that was just me being nitpicky and weird. Obviously, she has just been deeply traumatized, so I'm not gonna be like, oh, her brain should be working 100%.
I mean, well, if you want me to be nitpicky and weird, you know, she punches the window out with her fist.
Oh, and then suddenly she doesn't have any, like, bleeding hands, right?
No, I wasn't talking about consistency, but that's true, too. I don't understand, like, why she didn't, like, kick it, or, like, maybe use an elbow or something. I mean, like, it's just, like, it's such a terrible situation. Like, you know, she's trapped in the car. You know, like, yes, like, it's skid off the road, but also because of the snow, like, I don't know if people know where she is or whatever, but, like, I don't know. I mean...
I don't understand. I know in the previous flashback, a helicopter eventually found her, but I don't understand how they found her. Like, I don't get that.
I don't...
Did she call for help? We don't see anything like that. So I'm like...
I'm not sure. Trying to remember. I'm not sure. I wonder... Do you... and this is probably just semantics, but do you think she would have just been better staying in the car?
I'm not sure.
Because I'm...
We know for purposes of drama, she's on that hill.
Yeah.
So she's going to be on that hill at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
But no idea.
Because, I mean,
no idea if she would have been better off in the car.
You would think the car would be warmer and had more, like... It would be more insulated, but I don't know about, like...
Right.
Air stuff?
Cause yeah, I don't think she wanted to be stuck in that vehicle. Because she had been waiting, right? And then...
Yeah.
I think the problem with the car is it's kind of buried under snow, so it's not visible.
Yeah.
So, actually, I think I'm leaning towards that she had to get out of the car because no one could see the car.
Mm.
That's what I'm leaning towards.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, so, with... One thing I liked the touch of... She had, like, this blue frostbite makeup on her hands as she was... as she collapsed on the top of that mountain or hill... And I thought that was a good touch.
It was just
I don't
gorgeous.
Understand how she still has her fingers, but, you know.
Yeah, that's...
I guess she wouldn't be able to DJ without them, so.
True. But, like...
Riley Blue. Did I go too far? I went too far,
maybe.
Didn't I?
I'll just...
Maybe just a little too far.
But... Iceland is so beautiful, and, like, I know, like...
It is.
It was... You know, she's just kind of stumbling around, but it was just so gorgeous, like...
And I like that, like, it was gorgeous, but also devastating and tragic, you know?
Yeah, all I kept thinking about was, like, this is human versus nature, and nature just won.
Oh, the good old conflict thing, yeah.
Oh,
we mentioned that in a previous episode. Mm-hmm. Was it the 6 or 7 types of conflict in literature or
something like that,
yeah. But, yeah, those flashbacks were, like...
Those are brutal.
They were brutal. They were heart-wrenching, but they were so well done. One thing I noticed that was happening a lot in this episode, and it happened a lot during the flashbacks, was there was a lot of, fade to whites, or a lot of overexposure. Not only in the flashback, but in other sections of the episode. So, like, for instance, when the ambulance that she's in present day, she's in the ambulance and it's rushing towards, I think, BPO's medical center. The ambulance leaves a tunnel and goes into the light, which is like a bright, blinding white. There's other instances where, like, for instance, Will when he finally gets to the medical tent or whatever, where they're keeping Riley, that the whole tent and, like, the outside of the tent is very brightly lit and very white. I guess it goes with along with the snow theme, too.
Yeah.
So, it was... a lot of cool visual stuff was going on in this episode that I really enjoyed. Yeah. I'm just trying to think. Going through my notes. We already talked about the snow versus fire thing.
So, I mean, there's a few things where, like... Why were the people at the medical facility wearing hazmat suits?
Well, they've been doing that, like, throughout the season. Remember when they're taking Jonas away, they're wearing hazmat suits.
Why? She's not contagious.
My thing is more like, why are some people wearing hazmat suits but others not?
Also good point.
Because that's what we get when she's about to, like, when she grabs a gun, is about to shoot people, and then decides to maybe shoot herself, and then doesn't do either of those things. I noticed some of the men were wearing hazmat suits, or whatever people were wearing hazmat suits, and then some were not, and that's what confused me.
Yeah.
Because it's either all or nothing. You're not gonna have some people exposed and some people not.
I don't know.
We know it has something to do with them being sensates, because we've seen this, like, when they're hauling Jonas away, they have the hazmat suits, and I want to say I've seen it before in another episode, but I definitely remember them having that when they were taking Jonas away, they had hazmat suits on.
So going to Riley, whether, you know, she should kill herself for her cluster, and that scene where she grabs the gun, I thought it was just a really nice moment. I mean, nice moment is a...
It's not a nice moment, but it's like bookends, right?
You're right, because we've got three points of comparison here. We've got Angelica in the beginning.
Angelica!
Work. Who indeed does kill herself. And we've got Riley potentially thinking about killing herself to save the same cluster. And then Ursa compares it to giving her life for her baby.
That was messed up.
Yeah, Ursa's messed up. I mean, I think her heart's kind of in the right place. Like, she's looking at the greater good. You could call her the Dumbledore of the show, but...
She's not the Dumbledore of the show, but yeah, I see what you mean.
You know, she's looking at...
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one, or whatever the Star Trek-y thing of it is.
She's trying to convince Riley, you know, yes, you would have given your life for your baby. Come on. Protect, you know, the cluster, which is now your baby.
Seven other people, right.
But Will convinces her not to do it again. Well, not again. I mean, it's technically the first time but you know what I mean.
Right.
But it's all a good thing, apparently, because now she'll be unconscious when Whispers comes, which we see that he is not super pleased about.
Yeah. Can I say, I was really impressed with I know his first name is Brian. Is it Brian J. Smith or something? Is that his name? The actor who plays Will Gorski. I was really impressed with his acting this episode.
It was good.
Like, it was really, I don't know. I thought it was really, really good. But yeah, like, he's saying, like, no, let's take a third option. You don't have to kill yourself. And yeah, like, I'm glad they didn't go down that route, because we don't need shows glorifying, like, suicide or anything as an answer to a problem, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, take a third option. Don't have to go the same way Angelica did.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, back to Will, really. Do you mind?
No, not at all.
So, you know, he's flying to Iceland. He's talking to Nomi and getting all this bad news that Whispers. Frog.
Wait, are you writing on the time code?
Yeah, I got it. So Will is flying to Iceland and he is talking to Nomi and he gets bad news, essentially, that, you know, yes, Riley's being taken to this secure facility, and Whispers, who we get a name for, I'm not sure if we have before, Dr. Ellison. We may have gotten this before. I'm really bad with names.
I I want to say no, but who knows?
Who knows? You know, Will's ahead of him, but not for so long, because Whispers has a helicopter, and he only has a really nice red car.
A red Porsche.
Okay. I know literally.
It was a red Porsche.
I'm not conflicted. I'm not sure. Maybe. Absolutely.
Yeah, I looked at the brand. Yeah, so we catch back up with Will and Nomi and, Amanita.
Basically a car commercial for like a few minutes. Like
what I like was trying to outrun a
helicopter.
It's so stupid. I liked how Amanita was like, explain to me this look you in the eye thing. And I was like, thanks, Amanita. Thanks for helping the audience out.
Yes.
Audience surrogate. I was like laughing a little because I was like, wow, you're being real subtle about this, Wachowskis.
Yeah.
Please explain to me how this eye thing works again. In case the audience forgot.
It reminds me of this scene in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, essentially in the last season, where like one of the side characters just basically sits down and explains the plot again because
God,
the last season of Buffy was a little bit of a mess, but it was very helpful. And so like, you know, we have a lot of questions about what Whispers can or can't do, so I mean, I was appreciative. Thank you Amanita.
Yeah, I wrote thanks, Amanita. I love the car distraction. That was so funny.
It was kind of beautiful. Yeah.
That was great.
I feel like there's a story.
Yeah, it kind of got the lighthearted moments, interestingly enough, went to like Will, Nomi, and like Leto, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Like the whole we had sex thing, and then you just like to see the look on Will's face. He's like, what? Oh, that, right, that happened like a couple episodes. Oh, I feel conflicted about this. It was so good.
He was like, so flustered. I'm just like,
he was so flustered. He was so adorable.
Yeah.
And then when like Leto works his charm on that one, I don't know if she's a nurse or a doctor's assistant or whoever, but he works his charm on that woman, and then he just, like, does his fourth wall wink to, like, not only us, but to, like, Nomi and Will, and I was like, yes,
yeah.
Yes! Because, yeah. I don't know, I'm not crazy when Sensei gets too dark and deep and dramatic. I need some levity, so, like, Leto provides that, so I was like, yes, I needed this.
Yeah, I found that I liked the lighthearted moments, though I kept thinking, like, especially for Amanita, like, she deserves a show where she can, like, be free from this angst. Like,
we need more Nancy Drewing. That's what we need.
Like, I love her, and I want her. She deserves better. She doesn't deserve
well, I feel like Nomi is not a bad partner. They seem very happy.
She deserves Nomi, but she's gotten way over her head, and like she's totally game. Oh, yeah. But like all of her,
well, yeah, like Nomi says, like she lists all these illegal, horrible things that are putting her girlfriend at risk, and Amini is like, yeah, I'm cool with this.
Yeah, I mean, this is clearly her choice, but you know, like I can imagine her character in a different show, and she would just get to like throw out all these quips all the time, and she deserves that too. I just really like her character, even though.
Yeah, you know, I think I would be, when we first started the show, I thought I was gonna be super annoyed by Amanita, but like I actually really do like her. The significant others are great.
Yeah.
But, like.
What? I can't think of any other show, which has that kind of relationship. Like the only thing I can think of is like Heroes, where we've got like, you know, like different characters getting powers, whatever. And each of them is kind of in either, like, a family unit or, you know, has friends or whatever, and we get to know the people around them. And almost every single time, they're so annoying.
Yeah. But, like, somehow they manage to avoid that. Like, there's no... Even, like, Will's dad, who's not the greatest... I mean, I guess the most annoying family member would be, like...
Wolfgang's...
like, no, not Wolfgang, but Wolfgang's, like, cousin and uncle. Yeah. But they're, like, they're not even family, really. So, if it had to be anyone, it would be those two. But, like, I don't know. Most of the family members are fine. Like, I like them. I mean, they might be oblivious or whatever. Like, Kala's family seems oblivious to what she wants. But, like, you know, other than that, like, it's not...
I mean...
I'm not like, oh, this annoying girlfriend or boyfriend again.
Yeah, I mean, the show has kind of walked the line between having two perfect side characters. But somehow they've managed it, so I find their perfection kind of endearing instead of Mary Sue-ish, I guess.
Yeah, I don't really see, say, like, Hernando or Amanita as, like, Mary Sue's. Because, like, they're not... Like, we do see that they are not perfect. But I don't know. I could see the case where people would be like, no, they're total Mary Sue's. They're not annoying.
They're not annoying, so that's a big one. and they're... I don't know. They don't really have flaws that I can think of. So that's
a problem. Yeah, I guess they are, quote-unquote, perfect, but, like... I don't know. I feel like Mary Sue's are super annoying.
I think, essentially, it depends on where the show goes from here.
Right.
If they get more depth, good. And if they don't, I could see how they could become annoying.
Right. Well, Hernando broke up with Lido. So I feel like that wasn't, like, a perfect moment, per se.
Well, I mean...
Or maybe it was. I don't know, man.
It wasn't a perfect moment for Lido, but it was still kind of the moral right. But it's in character
for Hernando. It doesn't really...
I don't know. It's kind of complicated.
Maybe they are Sue's, and we just don't know it, and we're not willing to accept it.
I wouldn't say they are. I would not. Okay. Even if they don't have flaws, I wouldn't say they're Sue's, essentially, because...
We should... I'm going to look up what, like, the... Whatever the official definition of a Mary Sue is.
I think there's a few reasons why they're not. Even if this may not match the strict definition, I think because they're side characters and they haven't gotten enough screen time to be too annoying yet, I think that's a piece of it. And I think because there's still conflict in their storylines, their own personality, lack of faults, haven't been too noticeable...
Right. Let me read the definition I see on Wikipedia. So, a Mary Sue is an idealized and seemingly perfect fictional character, a young or low-ranked person who saves the day through unrealistic abilities. Often this character is recognized as an author insert or wish fulfillment. And that's, like, the basic summary of it. Yeah, I don't think they have unrealistic abilities. It's not like they can, like, shoot rainbows from their butt and ride unicorns off in the sunset and, like, I don't know.
It's more of, like, their personality doesn't have a flaw.
Wouldn't that be more like, Manic Pixie Dream Girl?
I think maybe in the same kind of family, though. I wouldn't call either of them Manic Pixie Dream
Girls.
They're
not Manic Pixie Dream Girls, though.
No, but I'm maybe closer to that family than a Mary Sue. To me, they're just not in that.
Yeah.
Kind of.
They're just, like, really ideal boyfriends and girlfriends.
Yeah. Like I said, I think my feelings about them, I love them right now. Like, don't get me wrong. I absolutely love them. But they have to develop nuance going forward.
Yeah, I want to see more from Amanita other than her being the perfect girlfriend, or more from Hernando than him being the perfect boyfriend.
Because both of them have basically given up their agency to just kind of go along with their significant other.
I feel like you don't even know who they are, what they do.
Yeah.
So that's I guess, like, a big issue I have with them. Like, Amanita just seems to be, like, a free spirit, and Hernando, like, okay, he cooks really good food, but, like, what does he do, like, as a job or something? We don't know, we don't have his background.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah. So, I kind of didn't really write too much about the fight scenes, because obviously the fight scenes are always awesome, but... The moment I saw all those... You know how, like, when they're finally leaving the facility, Will and Riley are leaving, and they get into that glass elevator? The moment, like, they got in, and it starts moving down, and all you see is just, like, glass everywhere, I'm like, there's no... Like, they're totally gonna look at Whispers.
Yeah.
And literally, like, 5 seconds later, Will just is just kind of, like, looking to his right, and Whispers just stares him dead in the eye and is like, hello, Will. And it's like, oh, crap, this is not good for season two and the rest of the episode and season two and beyond, because he just looked at Whispers.
That is super bad.
Nothing good can come of that. Right.
So, but before that, Will has to get into the building, and he goes through, like, the guard who, I don't know, he kind of looks like James Corden to me. Maybe that's just me. I'm bad with faces.
I mean, he's a large guy. No, but, his like, face. I don't... Really?
Facial structure. Maybe
I don't think I saw it.
I'm not sure. Whatever.
Maybe. I think he has the same facial hair, and he was also, like, a large white guy, but, like, other than that, I don't really see it. Not really. Like, I don't.
Well, I see it.
But...
Anyway.
Okay.
So, the scanning doesn't work, and he goes to call security, and all Will has to do is turn up the brightness, and, like...
Right.
That feel, like...
Classic.
I know that feel. That's literally happened to me before.
Where you had to scan something on your phone?
Yeah, I had a train ticket on my phone, and it wasn't really working, and so I had to turn up with the brightness all the way. Like,
that's so funny. That's, where were you coming from, and where were you headed?
It was from New York City to home.
Mm.
And it was on an Amtrak train, so.
Nice.
Fun time. But Whispers actually gets to see Riley, but not see Riley, because, you know.
She doesn't look him in the eye.
Well, no, I mean, she's unconscious, initially.
But even when they're in the elevator, no, she is awake by then, but she doesn't look him directly in the eye like Will does, yeah. So.
I really liked the building, like the hospital or whatever kind of building it was.
It was a cool building. I think I've been in a building like that before in Boston. It's pretty cool.
Like, the stairs were, like, spirally.
Oh, yeah. It was gorgeous. Again, this show is beautiful. This show is so beautiful. And I know we said it before, but props to the location scout because...
Props.
Dude did an amazing job.
Yeah.
Or woman, whoever.
You know what I kind of noticed, or not noticed, but you know what I kind of want? Is for, like, Leto to do that kind of flirtatious thing, but, like, while he's in one of, like, the women's bodies.
Could he pull it off?
No, he definitely could pull it off, but he would have to... I'd hope he'd kind of do it.
He'd have to adapt his technique.
Yeah.
Because he's used to playing a guy, because that's... He is a guy and presents as a guy, so, like...
I want him...
That's interesting. I don't know if they'll go that route, but that'd be interesting.
I really would like that. And it kind of reminded me of Secret Garden.
The K-drama. Yeah. Not the book, guys. Yeah. The K-drama.
An ambulance. So that's the way that Will and Riley are going to escape, but it gets there because someone on their side is pretending to have a heart attack. So who do you think that is?
Was that supposed to be Jonas? Who was that supposed to be?
Definitely not Jonas. Jonas is, like, locked up and...
I don't understand. Who had a heart attack? What happened there?
I mean, it could be Ursa. But I'm not sure. We don't find out.
I think it's Ursa.
Hmm.
Yeah, we never... I mean, that was, like, mentioned, but I don't think we ever got any confirmation of who or what or...
We have to know something about that at some point, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think so.
It was kind of ambiguous.
I think that's gonna be something important going forward. They must have some allies someplace. And so
I have two more notes, and I really want to get to them, but I'm wondering if you have.
I have a crap ton more, so just let me go.
I know you always do, man, and I want to wrap the show because we're getting to that 1:30 minute mark, well, man.
We also had breaks.
I know we had like breaks and stuff, but like,
dude. Let me take this one.
Okay.
So each of the sensates gets their own time in the spotlight, as it were. Which was extremely satisfying.
We
got to finally see the cluster come together first time. And I feel like this is the moment that the whole season has been...
I'm on a boat and
building up to Maggie. So one of those is Sun getting rid of the guards, which was...
Yes.
It was just beautifully shot. And you got Will...
Can I just say, Sun. I would love to see Sunny and Sun team up.
Oh my god. Sunny from Into the Badlands. Yes, that would be pretty cool.
That would be amazing. It would be a bloodbath. They would be destroyed. Whoever was against them. Anyway,
yeah.
Back to you.
I mean, Sun pushed someone off of the ledge, so
I'm not really... She kicked him in the chest and he fell over the ledge.
That's
a total Sunny move, man.
My point is that person may be dead, and...
Oh yeah, I know.
You know, like... I'm curious where they stand on the whole morality of death thing.
Well, they're trying to rescue Riley, right? So I don't think... I think they would justify it by saying, we gotta save her. And to do that, we have to break a few eggs to make the omelet, as it were.
Yes.
So.
But, So we get Will and Riley meeting up for the first time ever. And
that's right, in person. It's the first in-person Sense8
Yeah, thing. It was so beautiful because, like, they're touching and then, like, they switch places and they switch places again. And I was just like...
And then all the flashbacks and you're just like, no! Oh! That's where I was thinking, like, wow, this Brian guy's a really good actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just like Will was finally getting to save Sarah, you know?
Yeah.
It was really nice. And
that savior complex, man.
It's a problem.
I feel you, Will. I feel you.
It's a problem.
A problem.
But it really is. So Kala is the one who gets to wake up Riley, which, you know, is a nice...
And she's still emotionally messed up.
Yeah, you can see that.
From the Wolfgang stuff.
Like, she's still like, uh-oh, this Wolfgang-ish is not going great.
Yeah.
So then Cassius gets his moment when they're in the ambulance, and
he's starting the engine, sure.
Yep, that's
Caffey's job. Anytime there's a van, you know Caffey's will be there, or like a car or something.
Oh, fun fact: what? The actor who plays Whispers is Terrence Mann, who's also a stage mm-hmm. actor, and he has multiple Tony nominations, including for Javert in Les Mis.
Oh, he plays Javert. Interesting.
So, I can imagine that and. That sounds pretty cool.
This is kind of bad, but if you ever played Spy Fox in Dry Serial, which is a computer game that came out in the 90s, for some reason Whispers reminds me of Billy the Kid in the first Spy Fox game.
That means
like he has glasses, he has a goatee thing going on, or whatever, a beard thing. So like, for some reason, that equates Whispers to a cartoon goat. In a children's computer game. I don't know why.
Let me tell you who I think Whispers reminds me of. There was this...
Homeroom glasses guy?
No. There was this TV show on Sci-Fi Channel a few years ago called Alphas. It was whatever. I'm not really going to spend time talking about it. That's a whole nother show. But they're kind of like the guy in charge, essentially. They look so much like... I thought maybe they were even the same person. It was the same actor, but...
Or related.
Nope.
Nope.
Again, bad at faces, so... You never know.
It happens.
So, Will. He is trying to escape from the helicopter again. And so, you know, Jonas is like, basically, that it's all over, you know? Because
right.
Whispers is in his head. And those scenes where he's kind of driving and Whispers is kind of, like, around him. Those were cool. It was just that so was good. And so...
Whispers is so creepy.
He's a really good, like, creepy
he's
dude.
He's a good villain. Yeah, he's a good villain.
And, you know, I mean, on one hand, it seems like it'd be really easy to defeat him. Like, just, like, shoot him. But on the other hand, he's clever, I think.
I would not be surprised if, like, Whispers pulled off some weird K-pop video thing where he bends a bullet back towards the person. Like, I would not be surprised at all.
Yeah, I guess. Then there's, you know, of course, the question of whether Whispers is the super-duper bad guy or whether he's just kind of working for the super-duper bad guy.
Yeah, we still don't know why he's going after this cluster.
Yeah.
We don't know what's...
He's evil.
Is there something special about the cluster or what? I like what AV Club said when they said, like, maybe what it comes down to is this is the only cluster that has all the skills it needs to defeat Whispers. Because they all have such different skill sets. And maybe the fact that they all have different skill sets makes it possible for them to beat Whispers, whereas other clusters have failed.
That's an interesting theory.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's a theory, though. It's not confirmed, because we don't really know what's happening with Whispers.
But that leads into kind of the next point, which is essentially they have to go up in altitude, so they get fog, so the helicopter can't see, and they play their game of chicken with Wolfgang. Wolfgang, man.
Wolfgang was great. He didn't even have to say anything. He was just there.
Doing his thing. He's probably never lost a game of chicken in his entire life.
And somehow he's still alive, which is surprising.
I guess the best word to describe him, I think, is feisty.
unkillable.
That too. There's just something about him. He just got some, like, internal drive and, like, drive.
Oh, with the car?
Yeah. So, yeah. Wolfgang wins his game of chicken because he's kind of a boss. And they...
Yeah, Whispers, you lost that game, man. And we all know you don't like games, but you lost that game.
Jonas likes games, so it's okay. but they escape. We see Angelica and...
Angelica.
You know, Riley's essentially getting hysterical. Kind of...
Because she's like, she knows this is the same place where she got into the car accident.
Yeah. So, then they go, they keep driving, and Nomi can't actually reach them anymore.
Which was interesting.
Do you have any theories?
They were Will and Riley are emotionally linked, and I guess I want to say my best guess is like Riley's fear was kind of clouding Will's mind, and then that kind of cut them off. Because I think what happened was Riley shut down,
yeah.
And she also brought Will with her. If that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she shut both of them off from the rest of the cluster. That's my guess.
I think that's a good theory.
Hmm. Do you have a theory or same theory?
It was essentially the same theory. Yeah.
Hmm.
And so we get to this point where Angelica, says essentially, you know, you have to protect the other people in your cluster. This is the only way that you can do this. And Riley's like, whatever, I was supposed to die here anyway. But then Will gets his great idea where he drugs himself up and Riley is the one who has to drive him to safety. But you know, Riley's kind of back into not in a good place, back in her trauma and back in her memory. And she says the episode title, which is I Can't Leave Her. It was a really good episode title. I think they...
When she said her, she was referring to the baby, right? Yeah.
I think it was a really good title. I think it summed up the episode really well. But, like, not in, like, an over-the-top way. Because, I mean,
everyone was
way.
Like, they didn't want to leave... They didn't want to leave...
Riley.
Riley doesn't want to leave her baby. And you could even extend it to saying that Wolfgang doesn't want to leave Kala.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
Right?
Very nice. Yeah.
It works on multiple levels.
Yeah. And, you know, like, these... Yes, there's a lot of violence in this episode, but, like, it's still about kind of the human relationship, which kind of binds them all together.
Yeah.
And so Will talks Riley kind of through, not really through her memory. It's more like they both...
But he's saying, like, I'm experiencing what you're experiencing, but I know because of that you can experience what I'm experiencing, which is, like, I want to get out of the situation, and you can do this.
Yeah, and also I love you.
Sort of a pet talk. Yeah.
So that's nice.
Yeah. I mean, she couldn't save her family, but she was able to save her cluster, in this case, by driving away. And I like that, I'm glad that, even though we didn't get to see it, and I think it would have been maybe, I don't know, maybe it's redundant, but I kind of wish we had seen it, but I like that she took control and drove away and made the choice and saved the cluster, because it feels like she's been very passive, damsel in distress, for a while now. I'm always about women having agency and doing what they need to do, and I was really happy to see that happen.
Yeah.
Even though we didn't visually see it happen, like, I'm glad that it did.
Yeah. I had same kind of feelings as you, kind of mixed emotions, that we didn't actually see it. On one hand, yeah, we don't really need to see her do it, because we know that she did it.
Right.
But, on the other hand, maybe it kind of negates the difficulty that she had. I'm not really sure. I did have mixed feelings on that.
Because we already had so much Riley in the beginning with the car crash and all that, so.
We get another white transition.
White, right. I said white. Yeah, right.
And they're on the boat, Sven's boat, and every time he starts waking up, he Riley drugs him again. But Will says, you did it, you saved us, yee hee. And the music swells, and all the senses are there, and it's sunset, and I'm emotional.
Yeah.
That's it.
And one thing I noticed, and this is, like, probably super easy to do, they probably all just ducked, But I like how... No. Let me get to what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying, but go
that,
for it.
That last shot, when they're riding off into the sunset, into the waves, the camera is circling around the boat. We see all of them on the boat. As it swings around, I'm sure they were told to duck. Everyone except for Will and Riley and Sven were told to duck. And we swing back around, and suddenly there's only three people on the boat, whereas there was, like nine before. So that kind of made me laugh a little bit, but I did like it.
I liked it,
even though I was like, they totally just told him to duck down.
I liked it too. It was good.
It was good stuff.
Good stuff.
That's all my notes on Sensei. Do you have any more that you want to add before we close?
Just the kind of final season thoughts, I guess.
Yeah, so this is what I heard, because I looked it up after I finished watching the episode. So there was supposed to be a Christmas special that would air on December 23rd, but they're moving it back to January, so I guess it's not going to be a Christmas special anymore.
Wait, when did you hear that? I was just reading about it like 3 days ago.
Yeah, they updated it like 2 or 3 days ago, saying that they changed the airing date.
Wow, that's sad.
So it was going to be released on the 23rd, but then I think they said they moved it even farther back to January, which is really weird. So there, people are saying maybe it's because it got canceled. That's why they moved the Christmas special. Or I mean, I don't know.
But
I saw a lot of hearsay and rumors. It doesn't really make sense. I don't really know why that is that's the case. But I mean, I know they filmed season two. I know there's a new Caffeus. I'll just quick note about the guy playing Caffeus in season two. I think he is hotter than original Caffeus, but I think original Caffeus looks friendlier. That's just a completely random aside.
Okay.
But I am looking forward to... I mean, I really hope that they release season two in full and soon, because I would love to watch it. I think... I mean, who knows? The internet is a weird place, and there's definitely lies on the internet. So who knows if
so many lies.
The air date is the 23rd or sometime in January or some other time. But
yes, I mean, Sense8 has been, particularly bad at kind of knowing what's to come, basically.
Yeah.
There was just a few days ago that it was supposed to be December 23rd, and now it's like this, and second season question mark, and... the actor, for Kathy is changing. It's just, I love the scope and the audacity of the plan of Sensei. I think the plan is to have 5 seasons.
That's a lot of seasons.
That's what they've kind of figured in terms of story, not in terms of getting renewed for 5 seasons. But
that's pretty, that's a pretty lofty goal.
I don't know.
I think so, based on, people keep saying, they're flying all over the world, production costs, all that stuff, it's gotta be expensive.
Oh,
and if people are not eating it up like they should be.
No, I mean, yeah, feasibly it might not happen. But what I was saying is that I love the scope and I love, the whole thing, but... It is a risk. It always was a risk.
Yeah.
And, Netflix seems to be in the business of taking risks. But if it isn't going to continue to pay off...
financially viable and all that.
We might not get all that we desire of Sensei, which would
that's
be a shame.
That's why that's my main reason for why I like for a decent number of plot points to be tied up by the end of a season. Because... I feel better about that because if the show gets canceled, at least I have some closure.
Yeah, I definitely...
That's just my thing.
I get that.
And also, I feel like shows just get, they're very strong the first 2 or 3 seasons, and then they just kind of peter off at the end.
Well...
So, I prefer a shorter season type of show in general, but yeah, there's always exceptions to the rule. I just think... I'm surprised that they're aiming for 5 seasons of it. But, I like Sense8, but my issue is I don't know how popular it will be, and I worry about cancellation.
Well, the reason that I like that they kept things open, essentially, is that when a show, you know, puts a, they closes the door on season one, essentially the show has to open the new door on season two. And so often their new door is a lot less interesting than their old door of season one.
I see.
And so when you kind of keep things more continuous and kind of increase the continuity between the seasons, I think sometimes that works a lot better season to season. Again, assuming it doesn't get canceled. It's very, it's just been really weird the past, I don't know, maybe 6 months.
Their production thing is super weird.
Yeah, yeah, just like, you know, all this news coming out about it, and I'm just really hoping for everything to go smoothly. I really
hope. Yeah, I just want my Christmas special in a season two, man. That's all I want.
Well, I want 5 seasons. I'm gonna be greedy. I can't even promise that I'd watch 5 seasons of it, though, so, you know.
Yeah, no, I feel that. There's some shows I love, but after a certain amount of time, I just, like, I can't watch them anymore.
Well, it,
like, I'm done with Orange. I can't watch that anymore.
As long as the show maintains its creativity and its, you know, standard, I will stick around to the end. It's just, shows have a really difficult time of doing that. Though it does make me feel really good that they have a nice plan for, you know, the future.
Right, right. It's not just BSing and making up as we go along.
Yeah, I think plans are really nice. Sometimes, I mean, I don't want to see a Dollhouse situation. Dollhouse, Joss Whedon's...
Yeah, it's funny. The AV Club reviewer compared this to Dollhouse.
Well, the reason I compare is they had, like, many seasons planned out, and there was going to be, like, a nice slow reveal. And then it gets canceled in the middle of season two, and all of a sudden everything begins escalating, like, at a crazy, ridiculous... it's a completely absurd. It doesn't make any sense. Right. I mean, I'm glad I sort of... I have mixed feelings about the way Dollhouse handled its cancellation, but I don't really want to see that situation again where all of a sudden everything begins escalating because they want to start dealing and going in the direction that they really wanted to go in the beginning, but we're trying to draw it out, and... I vary. Dollhouse...
No, it's all good.
Dollhouse should have been better than it was.
Yeah, I mean, I have a question for you, but I'll ask you after we're done with the show. But I guess,
okay.
No, because then we're going to keep talking for another, like, 20 minutes, and no one needs that. So, yeah, any more on Sense8, or are we pretty much done?
This feels so strange and sad.
I know, I'm gonna miss talking about Sense8. I really enjoyed talking about the show. So, I mean, if anything, I hope we get that Christmas special soon. I mean, hey, it won't be too, I mean... It'll be, like, good timing, actually, because it's, like, we'll just have finished talking about the whole season.
Yeah.
Do a couple movies or whatever, start a new show, and then jump back to Sense8 real quick. And then, I mean, I don't know when season two will come out, but...
Yeah.
Season two of Ballad is coming out soon, hopefully, so we can get back to that.
Yeah.
We gotta find a new show, man. There's a lot of them. We gotta pick.
Yeah. I mean... Considering that they filmed season two, I have to think that Netflix will release it.
He's gonna release it, yeah.
But going forward after that, that's the big question for me.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Such is the problem with TV and film. They're financial. Even though it's like an artistic endeavor, it's still a financial endeavor.
It always is.
So you always have to, like, take that into account, which is unfortunate because, like, I think art-wise and story-wise, this is a great show.
And
but
I hate,
can it pull it off financially?
I hate,
and which
when,
is a horrible, which is like a kind of, I don't like making that a question because, like, I care about the story,
well,
and the art, the artistry behind it. But, you know,
I hate when
you can't ignore money.
A show which is like this, you know, really good, and is a risk. I hate when a show like this fails, or you know, a big budget original, like, sci-fi movie. I hate when something like that fails. Because it just encourages people not to do it anymore.
Right.
Like, even though, like, I don't remember, John Carter, I think, a big budget.
Oh, God.
Sci-fi movie. Like, yeah, it looked awful and I didn't go see it. And it was, I've heard from reviewers that it was bad. But it makes me sad when, you know, things fail. Because it just means that, you know, going forward.
People are gonna say, like, want to stay safe and rehash the same old fandoms over and over again.
Yep, basically.
Yeah, and we've talked about this. I don't know if we've talked about it on the show, but we've talked about it like
IRL,
face to face, yeah, in person, about how movies are starting to tend towards, like, they, Hollywood doesn't like financial risks, so they end up just kind of rebooting, rehashing old TV shows or old movies, which is, you know, fine for nostalgia, but then it's just getting the same stuff over and over again. And it's nice to see fresh, new, exciting stuff. That's why I like Children of Men. I know it's adapted from a book, but I like that because it's not from a fandom. I like Attack the Block because it's something different. Into the Badlands might be some kind of weird homage to Journey to the West, very but loosely. One, not really. Yeah, it's very loosely. And also, it's a completely different thing. We don't really get that much wire work and, you know, Asian American character, like, leads in sci-fi. And so, like, yeah, it's always really thrilling when we get something new and different. And Sensei is not based on any book or, you know, movie or story or whatever. It's an original idea, original series. So, to see it fail would really suck. And I'm the same as you. Like, I really appreciate original content. Even though, like, sometimes it's riskier. It's not as, maybe not as good or polished as, like, a big budget blockbuster. But, like, it's something different, you know? Like, Advantageous, we talked about recently, and I can go on and on.
Yeah.
It's just nice to have original content, and it seems like nowadays there's less and less original content in Hollywood. And in... I would say TV's a bit better about original content.
I mean, it depends on your perspective.
Yeah, even then.
Of original content, because, you know, as soon as the show kind of hits it off, the next season there's, like, 10 of them.
Right.
And...
Right.
You know, even Netflix has been kind of veering towards, you know, making a new season of an already established show. They've been...
But Stranger Things is new, right?
Stranger Things is new, but, you know, they're making Fuller House, and they made the Gilmore Girls revival, and, you know...
Because that's what sells, right? Right. So...
Established audiences sell. It makes sense financially, but, you know, creativity doesn't necessarily follow financial gain, I guess.
Yeah. Sorry to end on that downer note, guys. Yeah. But yeah, no, like, original content, I live for that, and I don't know, I'm all about
that
reimagining I'm all about reimagining POC in different contexts, or, you know, having them have a more prominent space in, like, independent works and stuff, so, yeah.
That's all for me.
Yeah, I guess that's it. I mean, I still hear that leaf blower. They've been at it for a long time now. I'm hoping I
hope they
get paid well.
How many leaves do you even have?
Oh, dude, it was bad. No one blew the leaves for the past couple months, so I totally understand why they're doing that. Because I had the same thought. I'm like, when are they going to rake the leaves? I mean, it's like December 3rd. The date of the recording is December 3rd. They haven't raked the leaves at all, like, since maybe September. So it was about time, but, like, I wish we weren't podcasting during that time. So, yeah, you guys know you can find us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter at SF In Color. That's SFINCOLOR. Sorry, British Commonwealth Nations or whatever. There's no U in there. you can also email us at Gmail. So it's sfincolor@gmail.com. Yeah, please send your... Please send any suggestion for what shows or TV shows or films we can watch next. I forgot to mention this earlier, so I'll record an announcement and put it in the beginning. But we will not have an episode next week because I'm going to be in our nation's capital. So we're skipping next week, but we will be back hopefully with a movie. Or something the following Sunday. So yeah, that's all. I'll see you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.